I want you to be here for the whole thing, you know? Well, honestly, it's exciting. For me, it's exciting news today. It's been 2 years since I put out my any music. Like, I put my last record out 2 years ago. But I have a new one today, and I'm stoked about it. And I haven't released this to the public at all, but I want to bring it to the churches that I love so you guys can have, like, first dibs or whatever. So, really excited. And we're going to play some of the tunes today. I will forewarn you, it's a dance worship album, okay? So, glory hallelujah. I love that. So, that's what we're going to do. We're going to cut a rug today, y'all. So, hopefully you're ready. Anyway, I'm grateful that you guys, you know, allow me to keep coming back here, that I haven't offended so much that I can't come. So, thank you. I'm excited to be with you, and Silver City is like, you know, it's one of my homes away from my home, so I love you all very much. So, Jesus, we thank you, God, first and foremost, that you first loved us, and you laid your life down for us, and you gave us freedom. And we can be in a place of joy and celebration. Worship doesn't have to be like this somber, oh no, woe is me thing. We can celebrate the person of Jesus Christ and what you have done for us and how you took away our sin. In the name of Jesus, we ask, God, for your presence. We ask for the presence of the Spirit to fill this place, that the mercy that is new every single morning for us would literally be what we discover today. We see all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, y'all do this with me, will ya?
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away, 'cause your love never failed. And I know I still make mistakes, but you still have mercy for me every day, 'cause your love never failed. You stay the same, let's sing it. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Destroy!
Yeah.
I love this song so much because it's, you can sing it from the heart, because we're all come from the same place, right? All the hearts who are content, the ones who have nothing left, all the thieves will come confess, right? It's like us in this room, you know that, right? And it's so good because the Lord brings his mercy and he just pours that on you. When everyone in this room doesn't deserve the mercy and the grace of the Lord, he pours it out over you. Isn't that cool? And that is so special that we get to serve a God like that. And I'm grateful to the Lord for that. I really am. Honestly. Because every one of us in this room deserves one thing, really, and that's to go to hell. And he said, nope. I'm going to come down. I'm going to change it. I'm going to give you life and life eternal. And it's free. And coming from a world where you have to pay for everything, right? For the greatest thing of all, it's free. That's so cool. Thank you, Jesus.
God in my living, fear in my breathing, God in my waking, God in my sleeping, you're God in my resting, fear in my working, God in my thinking, God in my speaking, be my everything, be my everything. Be my everything, be my everything.
God, my hoping,
God in my hoping, there in my dreaming, God in my watching, God in my waiting, you're God in my laughing, there in my weeping, God in my hurting, God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are everything. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Here you are everything. Baby. in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yeah, you are everything. Be my everything. Be my everything. Be my everything. Be my everything. You are everything. You are everything. You are everything. You are everything.
Promise maker,
promise maker, promise keeper, you finish what you began. Is our provision through the desert, you'll see it through to the end. Here you see it through to the end.
The Lord our God,
the Lord our God is ever faithful and never changing through the ages. And from this darkness, you will lead us, and forever we will say, you're the Lord our God. The waiting, still we can know you are good. 'Cause all your plans are for your glory. Yes, we can know you are good.
Silver City. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much, Lord. And we do say that. We really can't move without you. Like it says, we can't do anything without you. So we need you, Jesus. We need more of you this morning. Continue to move through us, in us, all day long, Lord. Just be with us. Put power on the words, God. Whatever comes out of my mouth, I pray that it would sink into the people's soul, the things that are from you, that they need to hear today. We worship you, Jesus. It's in Christ's name we all say. Amen. Well, here I am again. You're stuck with me, if that's okay. I just got a text from Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe says he loves you, so he wanted me to tell you, and so I did. He's the greatest, man. I love Joe. He's the best. I am excited today. I don't really call myself a teacher, really, or anything like that. I sing, and so that's what it's going to feel like today a little bit. We're going to have some music and all that, so it's a little different structure today. I'm thankful that I get to keep my guitar on, because when I take it off, I feel super naked. And that's not a sight you want to see, you know. Anyway, super grateful to be here with you guys. I'm really appreciative. But I really believe that the Lord has a message for you today. Not something that's just out of my mouth, but that's coming from Jesus that I think he wants to impart to you today. And I've realized a lot over the years of my life how broken of a human being I am, really, genuinely. I've gone through some stuff, like we all do. And we're going to learn about three different men today who have gone through some stuff. And I want to read a passage of scripture to you. If you got Bibles, if you're the traditional people, I got a phone. So I guess that's how we do it now. No offense, Lord. Anyway, you know, I want to read this to you. For some reason, it skips forward. Give me one sec here. So, all right, let's read it. Proverbs 16 is where I'm going to be today, and this is kind of where I'll camp. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. You see a theme here? The Lord works out everything to his proper end, even the wicked, for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is abandoned and avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. This is my verse of the day right here. You ready? In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. That's right. We're lucky for that, right? I mean, come on. We've got a God who's going to guide you and direct your path. And you're going to plan it all. He gives us this little thing called free will, right? So we plan it. But he's the God, you know, yesterday, today, and forever. Like, he's the Alpha and the Omega, and he's already been before you, and he already knows what you're going to do. And that's pretty wild in itself. And so it should give you a little comfort in that. So, recovering from a mining accident in Oklahoma, Vernon Spencer, just a kind of humble guy, decided, I can't work, so what do? I can play music. So I know what I'll do. I'll go to the local bar and I'll play some tunes. This local bar was called the Bucket of Blood. You know, little creepy. So he goes there, he starts playing music. He does what all of us do, musicians. Where do I go to be famous? Where do I go to make it big? Hollywood, California, right? I live out there, so, you know. 1931, this guy goes to Hollywood, California. And he starts playing, starts trying his best to make it. And he joins this band called the Roy Rogers and the Pioneers, right? That was a big band. He starts writing songs. He writes this huge hit. Check this hit out. It's called, this will tell you about his life. Cigarettes, whiskey, and wild, wild women. Right? So that's who the guy is. He's, you know, I mean, honestly, we're in like the 40s, right? 30s and 40s. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll isn't just for today or the 60s or whatever. It's gone on since the beginning, you know? So this guy's lifestyle is like, nah, I'm partying, man. I'm going to have a blast. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do my tunes. People are going to love me. Great. He met this chick called Velma. He fell in love. I'm going to marry this girl, right? So he does. And Velma happens to be a person who knows Jesus, right? So every day she's praying for this guy. Every day. Every day she's saying, God, please be with my husband. Show him who you are. All that. He's in a hotel in Pennsylvania one night on tour. And he opens a letter from his wife. And it's a real sweet letter. And attached is a scripture. Doesn't give reference to the scripture, but there's a scripture attached to it. So Vernon, he goes by Tim now, by the way. He took a stage name. Tim Spencer, he goes over to the little drawer beside the bed, right? And he finds that Gideon Bible. And he picks it up, and he opens it up, and he starts reading the scripture, and then he reads, and reads, and reads, and reads. And the Lord met him in that hotel in Pennsylvania and showed himself to him. And immediately the guy goes, I got to change my entire life. I gotta change my course. What do I do? I smoke, I chew, I go out with women that do, right? What do I do? So the guy ends up saying, fine, I love music, I'm gonna do it. He starts this music publishing company called Manna Music, which is a huge publishing company in the day. And he starts trying to put out Christian songs, you know? And out of nowhere, his son is in college. His name is Hal. Hal's going to university, and he's at this missionary conference, and he ends up meeting this guy who sang a song at their missionary conference. And he said, Dad, you've got to hear this song. You've got to put this song out. This song is amazing. And no one had heard of the guy. His name was Stuart Hine. Right? Nobody. He said, you got to put this song out. So he said, okay, let me hear it. He listens to the lyrics. His whole soul is moved. He contacts Stuart and says, Stuart, can I put this out? And he did. And that is how we have How Great Thou Art today. Isn't that incredible? That the Lord will take your life and he'll just, with these crazy flows, direct your steps to where exactly you need to be so you have a How Great Thou Art type moment in your life. And doesn't that song affect you today? And won't it affect heaven in the end? That song is amazing. There's such power in these lyrics. There's such power in the theology and the depth and the spirit of this song. I mean, it really changed my life listening to it, singing it. You know, it's powerful. And to think that a guy like him, who was a miner, who played a little tunes, could go from the mine in Oklahoma to starting a label, to publishing one of the greatest works in our history, in church history, is astounding. So it's like that. That's the challenge of today, so you understand. The things that we go through in life, there is meaning behind those things. Because everybody in this room faces things. Good things, bad things, hard things, whatever. That everything has meaning. The Lord has purpose in every single one. He says he works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I believe it because I'm living proof of it. I truly. So when I hear a song like that, it stirs me to try to think differently about who Jesus is to me, probably who Jesus is for you. He's gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's rich in love. He's got a lot to give you, honestly. And so I'm going to do this. I'm going to sing this song, and you can sing along with me. This is one of my favorite songs ever. And, you know, just listen to these lyrics and reflect on who Jesus is, okay? Okay.
God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
When I think
that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce to take it in, that on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Amen.
And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. What's that? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
That's where we're going now. This is one of my, I'm sorry, we're in the 1800s. My bad, that's the last one. 1800s. So this is a big deal to me. This is like the hymn of hymns to me personally. There was a man who had great wealth, great fortune, lived in Chicago. He was a real estate investor. He had a law practice, very successful man. He bought up on Lake Michigan, he bought up a ton of shore property there, offshore property, and had a massive amount of money, huge fortune. And in one day, the Great Fire of Chicago happened and wasted his entire life. Everything he's worked for, gone. Crazy. One day. Just before that, he had a son who died. Insane, all right? So there's the beginning of this man's journey. Listen, at that point, you kind of just want to throw in the towel. Okay, I got no money. My kid's dead. I don't want to do this anymore, right? But not him. Horatio G. Spafford was an amazing human being. He was a layperson, Presbyterian layperson. But he had a best friend, a little known guy named Dwight L. Moody, right? So D.L. Moody was his buddy, and they did ministry together. And so Horatio thought it would be a good idea to take his family across to London and do some work with D.L. Moody. And so he said, I have to stay behind and do some work here, but I want to send you guys ahead. And so his wife and her four daughters hopped on a boat, and they decided to go across the ocean to meet up with D.L. And what happened there was they collided with another ship in the ocean, and in 12 minutes, it sunk. And she was found on the wreckage. Somebody came and picked her up, took her to Cardiff, Wales, and she telegraphed her husband and said, "Saved alone." Could you imagine getting something, a text message like that? Saved alone. The man's already really been crushed, okay? So here we are again. And he's lost four daughters. And so he jumps on a boat, and he's like, "I got to go be with my wife." So he jumps on a boat, and he heads across the ocean. And it says this, that when he was said to cross over where the wreckage had occurred, he went down into a cabin of some kind or some place, took a piece of paper and a pen, and penned down a song. And it was an amazing song that would change our church history yet again. And so this man has lost everything in his life. And he went down and wrote a phrase like, "It is well with my soul." Can you imagine the torment of losing everything? I can. Like, I've had great loss in my life. Like, overwhelming loss. And I'm sure everyone in this room, how many people have experienced loss here? Exactly, like the room. How many people's wealth has gone away? Like the room, right? Honestly, we all know that feeling. But here's a man who's being tormented like Job, right? It's really reflective of that. It reminds me of that. And he goes down into a cabin and says, "No, it's well with my soul." I can't imagine having the faith to do that, to lose everything I have and say, "Jesus, it doesn't matter. It's well with my soul. You are still good. You are still on the throne. You are still in my life. You are still the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords." That takes a special human being. It's like, what if Job would have said, "All right, I'll go ahead and curse God and die." His story wouldn't be any good. You know, he didn't. He stayed the test of time. As a matter of fact, Satan came to God, and God himself said, "Have you thought about Job? I mean, that guy," he was like, "Yeah, go ahead, torment the guy." He allowed him. And he lost everything. He lost his entire family. He lost his entire fortune. And he sat and got sores all over his body. The guy was just, it was awful. And he had friends coming to him. You know, and you have this too, by the way, little voices that come into your life and say, "You should curse God. You should curse God and die. Just give up." Right? He didn't listen to those voices, and neither did Horatio Spafford. And he wrote, "It is well with my soul. When peace like a river tendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." That is power, my friends. That story changes things. It changes the human beings that we are. It changes our beliefs. It changes our faith. It changes the way we see Jesus. And don't think that he had it easy. He had two more kids after that, by the way. And another son died of scarlet fever. Insane. The hits just keep coming. But the guy stayed the course. The guy stayed the course. And I think that's our challenge. Because still, God is in there weaving and directing his steps. Do you think that Horatio Spafford knew when he wrote that song that he would affect millions upon millions of people with his music? No, he was just being faithful. But he has affected millions upon millions of people. That has just rung true. It's been echoing, echoing over and over again, and it will throughout eternity again. It is well with my soul. And I believe, to be honest with you, if we can get to that place, we'll find a lot more peace than we think we will.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, and whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. This glorious thought, and my sin not in part, but the whole has been nailed to the cross, and I bear. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, 'cause it is well, yeah, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. is well, and it is well with my soul. God, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Wow, man, that song is insane. It's so powerful. And especially when you start getting the context and the history, you know? Like, isn't that amazing? It's just like the Bible. It's like you get the context of the scripture and you go, whoa, dude. Right? It's a big deal that there are people, prominent people in history, that have gone through some of the most tragic things. And you go, wow. Like, I'm not... He did it gracefully. Like, he finished well. Do you know what I mean? You know who else finished well? Samson. Samson finished well. Right? He did. He blundered around. He fell in love with a girl he shouldn't have, and it was bad. And he went into prison. But he finished well. He's amazing. And that's us, you know? We're floundering around in life trying to figure it out. Every one of us are trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure out how to be like Jesus more and more. We're trying to figure out how, in our own skin, you'll never attain that, by the way. We're talking about Jesus Christ here. You can try, but you're never going to do it. This is God. So give yourself a break. Cut yourself some slack. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever is going on in your life, the intensity of your life, there is a place of peace. It's really a person of peace, a person of hope, a person that when you trust, gives mercy over and over again. And that place is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who took our sin and threw it as far as the east is from the west. Right? So when you think about stories like that, you just kind of are, it's alarming to our own self. How do I become more like Horatio Spafford? How do I become more like Job? How do I have faith in the middle of hardship? I want you to know something. Jesus, listen to this story, was asleep on a boat, and there was this crazy violent storm going on. And his disciples freaked out, and they're like, Master, please, do something. We're going to die. And he looks at him, and he goes, where's your faith? And he walked up. I swear, it had to be calm as day, right? Just calm. And just go, he spoke to the wind and the waves and said, be still, and they were still. Do you know of any person that could say, gosh, it's hot today. Hey, son, do you mind? Right? Who can do that? It's Jesus. It's the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus. We have to remain in Jesus. We have to be in Jesus. John 15, 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me, he'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, he can do what? Nothing. And so we know that. I mean, that's what I'm saying. This man had strength, not on his own volition. It was by the power of the Spirit, because he remained in Jesus, the source of it all. Right? It's astounding to me. We go to 1779. There was a man who was, you know, penned this song in the 1700s, a long time ago. And he grew up as a decent kid, I think. His dad was a sea captain. His mom was like a church going lady. I picture her as like a Southern Belle, kind of like, you know, love you mama, love you Jesus kind of thing. She was British, so she wasn't that. But so, you know, his mom instilled in him from birth, basically, the fundamentals of the gospel, the fundamentals of the Word of God. And he had that foundation to stand on because of his mom. Well, when he's 7 years old, his mother passed away. And so all he had was his dad. His dad remarried. His dad was at sea all the time. His stepmom didn't have the capacity to take care of him, really. So he was kind of alone after that. And so, you know, he ended up living life and trying his best and working and doing everything he could to stay alive. And he ended up falling in love with this lady named Mary. And he's planning on marrying Mary, right? And so when he's 19 years old, he's going to visit her. And he gets basically abducted by this thing called a press gang. Do you know what that is? Don't worry, I didn't either. I had to look it up. A press gang is a group of people who forcibly will take you and make you join the military. Like they'll put you in the Navy, the Army, that you can't get away from it. It's almost like you become held captive. You have to join the military. And so he joined this ship, this naval ship, and it was like a rickety ship. He did not want to be a part of it. He felt like a prisoner. He tried to escape so many times. I mean, even jumping overboard. And they'd get him on the deck, and the captain would flog him because he's not allowed to do that. So he had a really torturous existence in this thing. Finally, I think he just kind of broke. So he joined another ship called the Greyhound. And that ship actually was a slave trading vessel. So it would actually be importing, exporting slaves. And it was a very lucrative business at that time. Huge. I mean, obviously, horrible. I mean, you're selling people. But it was a lucrative business. And he got all wrapped up in this slave trade. And so he did that for a long time. Became a captain of a ship and did the same thing. And one night, his ship had hit this humongous violent storm. And the boat is like falling apart, and he's fearing his own life. Like, what do I do? I don't even know. Probably he's probably got like a bucket, just like, you know, kind of, or whatever, shoveling water out of the boat, trying to keep alive. And what happens to him in this instance, instead of panicking and freaking out, and like, I'm going to die, and blah, 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 he goes immediately to the foundation that his mother poured into his life when he was a kid. So he starts hearing Jesus, basically. And God starts meeting this guy. And then he's begging him, Lord, please, God, help me, you know. I don't know if I can come back from what I've done or whatever, but help me, right? He does. He spares his life. And he goes into, you know, he tries to go into service. It took him 3 years pretty much to get out of slave trade. Like, he, you know, it's not like, again, it's not like an overnight thing. Hey, I'm smoking weed on the weekend. I love weed. I'll give my life to Christ. Oops, I smoked weed again next weekend. That stuff happens. This is a process for you. This isn't like cold turkey, quitting cigarettes, we're going to do this thing, right? It's hard. It is a hard thing to realize who you are and accept who you are and accept the person of Jesus Christ and run to him only. I mean, if sin is fun. If it wasn't fun, no one would do it. You know what I mean? It really is. Like people want to do it. That's why we do it. So you can't be expected to overnight just, you know, whatever. I love the stories when people say that. I was on heroin and now I'm not. Holy cow, amazing. That is a miracle, you know? So John's the same way. John Newton decided, I'm going to follow Christ. Took him a while. He got out of slave trade. He started pastoring a church in England. Became one of the most prominent ministers in England at the time. And then they started to like run a campaign basically against slave trade. Against slavery. And guess who was one of the key witnesses? John Newton. So from all of his experiences and all the things he regretted, he actually was one of the most pivotal people in history to abolish slavery. Isn't that cool? Out of all that, there's this guy who thinks, I'm so far gone, I can't, I deserve to die, what do I do? To, I'm going to abolish slavery. I'm going to preach the gospel with my life. So if he can do it, anybody can, you know? Honestly. And so through his experiences, through, you know, he wrote Amazing Grace. And that song I mean, do you know what decade we're in here, right? What millennium? You know, that's an old tune, and that tune's going to be sung again and again and again until Jesus comes back. Because of the man and what he did. I don't think that John Newton, I think that he regrets some of the aspects of what happened, but I don't think that he fully would regret his path. Because where it led him to finish. There's people in this room right now are sitting, squirming in your seat because you question the very authenticity or realness of God. Who he is, who's Jesus. I don't know if I believe in Jesus. I know that there's people in this room that struggle. I struggle with that. I've had some real hard things happen in my life. And there's been times where I'm like, are you even real? You know? I think about that. But I have discovered that no matter how deep the pit, God is deeper still. Thank you, Corrie Ten Boom, for saying that line that echoes in my soul. That God sits below your pain. Come on. And all he's doing is waiting for you to let him pick you up out of it. And we're so stubborn and we're so stupid. We are. We're sheep. Sheep will literally run off a cliff without a shepherd. There's a reason why we're called that, you know? And I believe wholeheartedly that where you are and where you sit, that's exactly the spot where redemption lives. You don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to change one bit of the person that you are. Well, I mean, when you meet the Lord, you probably want to. But you don't have to. You don't have to come to the Lord all clean. He did away with that. Back in the old days, man, you had to be real clean if you're going to enter the Holy of Holies or you're going to die. Like, you will die. And people did a lot. Read it. But you know what Jesus did? When he died, it said that the veil in the temple that kept people from the most holy place ripped from the top to the bottom. I'm done. You don't need to do that anymore. I've sacrificed my life so that you can have freedom, so that you can have life and life abundantly. You do not have to be bound by sin and death anymore. Yeah, I think that's worth a clap. Jesus saw differently. It's the beauty of it. It's the beauty of it that when he says, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here's the deal, y'all. Do you think that God doesn't know the sin that you're going to commit 10 minutes when you leave this place? When a guy cuts you off on the road and you give him the Christian finger? It's not the middle one, by the way. It's this one. I'm just kidding. I really, truly, honestly believe that God is already there and he already knows. And he already knew when he came down. And he still died. Would you do that? For all of humanity, by the way, would you do that? No way. That guy came and died for Hitler. Do you understand? Of course, Hitler made some bad choices, but he still did. He knew who he would be, and he still died for his sin. That's insane. It just does not sound real, but it is real and authentic and the most truth in history. It's the greatest story that you will ever hear or ever tell in your entire life. And he did that for you. And his mercy still is just living and breathing every day. So there's people in this room, I know, that you are sitting in your seat and you're like, oh my gosh, I came here feeling super, super bummed. My life is not going how I want it to go. But you're hearing from Jesus. The Holy Spirit is touching your life right now where you are. And I'm telling you, the redemption of the Lord is right where you are. It's waiting for you. So I think it'd be a waste of my time if I don't give you, those of you who need that, who need to know Jesus and have Jesus as your Savior and want to go to heaven and spend the rest of eternity with Him, discovering amazing things about who this infinitely deep being and man is. I think it'll be a waste of time if I don't give you an opportunity to do that. So I'm going to do that right now. And what I'd like to do is I'd like for everybody's head to bow. I'm not going to make a spectacle of you. Understand? This is your journey. Sometimes I feel like preachers do that because it validates them. It makes them feel like I'm doing good things. Oh, thank God somebody stood up, right? If you want to stand, stand up. I don't care. I could care less. I'm going to get on a plane. I'm going to fly home. No offense, but I'm going home. I don't know you, really. I'm not in your life. That's between you and it's between Jesus, and that's it. When you are at the end of time, you're going to stand before the Lord, just you, not you and your husband, not you and your kids, not you and anybody else, just you. You are going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to have to give account for your life. I'm bummed about that day because I got to talk about some really stinky things. Honestly, I'm not stoked. But then I am stoked because I get to be with my Lord, dude, forever. It's amazing. So let's bow our heads. Do whatever you want. There will be people up front here. I don't know if there's anybody in this room that can facilitate this for me, but there will be people up front who can help you, pray for you, guide you in your next step in your journey with the Lord. I know there's people here too who question, you know, if they are a Christian or have given their life to the Lord and feel like I've fallen away from the Lord a little bit. I've decided to kind of do my own thing for a while and neglect the truth of the Bible and who Jesus is. I'd like to come back to the Lord. I'd like to give my life to the Lord again today. I want to do that. Right? So you can do that. Super simple. But I encourage you to seek out help and accountability in the next steps. So I want you to, like, at the end of service or whatever, just come forward, talk to somebody, let them know that you made a decision to follow Christ today and that you need some help, like we all do. Take a Bible, maybe a free Bible. I think we have free Bibles here. Just take a Bible with you. Start reading John. Discover who Jesus is. It'll help you. I promise. It's not like a get out of jail free card in the sense that your life just all of a sudden magically becomes easy. I think it's harder because then the enemy's working against you, man. So, but you can make that decision. You can find true peace, true joy, true hope today. Okay, let's pray, and then we're going to sing one closing song, which is an amazing song that's all dear to all of our hearts. And then that's it. Jesus, I know that I am sinful. I am sorry. Forgive my sins. Lord, today I say that I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came down to earth, that you went to death on a cross, that you went into the ground, and you raised yourself from the dead and canceled my sin. I believe in you today, and today I want to give you my life. Please come into my life and be my Savior. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you prayed that prayer, please do what I'm saying, okay? Please. You're going to be a moron again. No worries. The Lord's covered it. You just have to keep going to Him. Keep trying. Keep trying. Give Him, you know, don't take grace for granted. Because we do that all the time. Oh, He'll just forgive us our sin. Right? Try to be like Jesus. Try. You'll never do it. Try it. I dare you. Do it. God is so good and merciful, and He's waiting for you. So come get some help. Anyway, let's stand, guys. I want to sing this last song. Let's stand and acknowledge the Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Guys, thanks so much again for having me, honestly. One thing I wanted to say, I forgot a point that I wanted to point out. Did you know the common thread? Did you see the common thread between those songs? When we've been there 10,000 years, right? And Lord, haste the day, you know, the trump shall resound. What was the other one? When Christ shall come, right? So it's all foreshadow. They're all thinking about the future, where they're going to be, where they're going to end up, how they're going to finish. Every single one of these great hymns end that way. Like, how am I going to end? I want to end well. I want to finish well. And that's our goal. So I want to say, though, if you weren't here in the beginning, I'm stoked. I've released an album. I haven't done that in 2 years. And I'm not putting it out to the public. I'm just giving it to churches that I love right now. You know, so I just wanted to bring it to you guys. I'm so excited about it. It's like a dancey worship album, so you can do this in your living room or whatever. You can work out to it, which is fun. I like doing it. I run to it. And, you know, and I actually have a couple copies left of my Christmas album that I have. And, you know, just if you don't mind going out and maybe supporting the ministry, I want you to know where your money's going. I'm not buying a Maserati, I promise you. I am literally going from church to church, and it keeps me doing this. So anything you want to give, if you don't have the amount of money the record is, I don't care. Just if you got a couple bucks, great. I'll give you an album. I don't care, right? If you can support it, it'd be awesome. God bless you guys. Thank you so very much for having me today. I hope that the Lord is just resounding in your soul, and he will stay with you. Amen. God bless you.